Welcome back to the Electrify Podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. All right, so joining us now, it's about to get lit, literally, as we have Lit Motors on the line here. Joining me is Tony Donaldson, but also we have Danny and Christina representing Lit. And Tony, what excites you about this product? I know we have you as guests first, Danny and Christina. You're going to elaborate on this. But Tony, you're this like two-wheeled purveyor. Like what excites you about Lit most, like as a consumer level or an enthusiast level?
Okay, so I live my life on two wheels, whether it's a BMX bike or mountain bike or a motorcycle. And I've ridden all kinds of motorcycles, including the electric ones. And I love that feeling. And when I saw this, I wanted to write it up for Electrify News. And not just because I was fascinated by it, but because I want one. Like this thing is, imagine you've got a car, you're fully enclosed, you're, you know, cocooned like you would be in a car, more or less. So you can't get wet when it rains, but it's self-balancing, and I can't wait to hear about the technology. But imagine you're in a car, but it corners like a motorcycle, so it leans. And that, to me, is just, it's so compelling. And the specs on the charge time and the range, it's just, I'm so excited about this.
See, and that's why, again, no apologies here, Danny and Christina. That's why I kind of went into this about that's our intention here, is to make EV or these kind of this new perspective on mobility. You want that consumer to be like, aha. And here's Tony, who works in the industry. You know, I come from more four-wheel background, motorsports, action sports, all that. So this is something that I think feeds into one emotion and also mobility. So without further ado, Danny, Christina representing Lit. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So do you like that feedback on your product? Is that correct? Is that spot on? Does that touch on the emotion of it as well as mobility? Danny, and what are your respective roles at Lit Motors?
Yeah. I'm the CEO. I'm the founder. And I also moonlight in as the CTO as well. It's been about a 18-year career since the inception of it. So it's been a while, but I'm happy to have great teammates like Christina on board as well. So
I'm the head of strategy for marketing. It's a lot of fun stuff. We get to talk to our audience, who is very excited about our vehicle coming out. It's been a while since Danny's accident, and a lot of people are wondering what's next. So this is the perfect opportunity to come out again and show everyone what we have cooking.
All right. So yeah, go Danny, if you will wrap out.
Yeah. That was a great segue about cooking and the kitchens in the background, but, I love the feedback. You know, it's, this is not just a mission play, but it's a passion, a company for me, or it's a, I feel like it's like my Boy Scout deed for the 21st century. And, I used to be a motorcycle rider. I can still ride, car enthusiast as well. And the feedback, Tony gave was, pretty spot on. I think we could step it up a few notches, but that will come after you give it a test drive. We're just super excited to have an amazing team. And, happy to be here.
How did you get involved with...
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
How did you get involved with Bill Webb at Huge Design? And that's how I found out about this, is through his post on LinkedIn, actually.
Ah, yeah, Bill's awesome. Someone on the board of Mercedes, heir to the Maybachs, kind of clued me into Bill's last design. It was a beautiful motorcycle design. And, I have a background as a product designer. And so I reached out to him through a friend who's also a prominent designer out here in the Bay Area. And we just kind of hit it off and got working on it. So it's been amazing. He's an awesome designer.
It's a stunning design.
Yeah, it's we've got more room to grow, but it's a really great direction. So we're really excited. There's more to come.
And the big stressor here is that gyro stability. You know it looks like a light cycle, little less futuristic as a light cycle, but it just a little like ride height and all that stuff. Obviously, you're more prone than lie down if you grab the bar if you're into Tron. But it like I said, it feeds into that emotion, but also practicality. Who is your ideal consumer for the Lit Motors?
Yeah, I mean, that could straddle a couple segments. I think, guys like us, I think that it's going to be a huge appeal for just capturing that new sense of freedom that we want to redefine in the future. So, like 65 to 45 to 35. But I also think that the average consumer, it's also kind of that big mass market leap that we want to go after. So it really appeals to the performance crowd, the luxury crowd, people who are pretty practical, I think. And then also like entry-level car buyers. So it's really a big mass market range. But, we'll see. Christina has more data on how people are actually responding to it. So, we'll see.
Oh, did you want me to go into the details?
Sure. Yeah, please.
Oh, well, we recently did a poll and it was super interesting because we wanted to get a feel for what's really on people's minds when it comes to our vehicle. And we were surprised because we knew these things, but it's really interesting seeing it, like the data up front. A lot of people see our vehicle as a gateway to freedom. So we asked, how do you think you're going to feel when you're first going to get into the AV and start driving? And almost everyone chose the eagle. So, and I think the eagle has a lot of symbolism there where, you think of America and how it's flying and the freedom associated with it. And there are also some spots in the polls where they could type in their own responses. And a lot of people were like, I'm ready for my joyride. I want to turn the corners. So it is really about that fun we're tapping into, where not everyone knows what it's like to drive an airplane on the ground. I think almost no one can say that unless you know how to drive an airplane. But yeah, like when you're leaning into the corners and you're seeing the world turn, but you feel normal. I think that's a very magical experience and people just want to know what that feels like.
Yeah, it seems like, again, you're tapping into the motion of something fun, freedom, all this mobility, your footprint as well. There's a responsibility. You're talking about all the specs on, a sixth less of this, just reading through some of your press releases, getting your funding. Kelly Slater, world champion surfer, that name popped up for me, again, making it really kind of fun, and that's what I tap into. That's why I kind of KISS, keep it simple, stupid, make it digestible, make it interesting. Tony cuts into the, bringing up these massive names that play a major role in the EV space, as well as just progression, right? I mean, Tony, this really is something interesting, the self-balancing, but then also, taking that technology and applying it to the Kubo, which is the cargo scooter, which I think is applicable in situation. It's just exciting times. That's why I really enjoy this podcast and talking to people such as yourselves, developing different things. Tony, what are your thoughts?
I'm fascinated by this thing. Danny or Christina, talk about the gyro stabilizers, because that's technology from space, isn't it? Well, the satellite industry.
Yeah. I stumbled across it. You don't stumble and trip over satellites every day, but it depends on which stratosphere you live in. They mostly are in the exosphere. I used to play as a kid, with this little gyro. It's called the Wizard. If you've ever played with like momentum wheels or just wheels, that was something that carried with me, all the way from like my time doing physics in college and then trying to find a solution for the best possible commuter. You talk about spatial, footprint, just being spatially efficient, energy efficient. And so I was really lucky to basically realize that to stabilize a two-wheeler, you need control moment gyros, or gyros at the time is what I thought they were. We had progressed in the company. We'd gone through a ton of engineers and PhDs. It was crazy. And then we finally, one of the PhDs that we met knew the CTO of NASA. And that CTO of NASA said, well, this control problem or this satellite issue that you're dealing with is really rare. It's a small industry, Earth observation. Let me introduce you to the grand wizard of all mathematics and control moment gyros. So I was introduced to this expert engineer, Dave Bailey, who's just amazing. So the technology is just two wheels. They're mirroring each other, and they counter process and they counter rotate. They create an orthogonal, like a torque vector, basically, and they cancel each other out, and they just allow you to have a roll moment. So they basically control your roll in the vehicle, which is what satellites do, but usually satellites have like 24 or 16 of these gyros, and they're usually high precision. They're reading a newspaper, you know, from the exosphere. You know, that was the first very difficult part of, you know, how to reduce the risk on this technology. The second part, which is really exciting about the technology, they're both very exciting, is I think something that I'll speak to you, Tony, is, you know, in order to lean on a motorcycle, it's very counterintuitive. You want to, you know, steer in the opposite direction, which is very strange. And then as the bike leans over, you want to let go of the handlebars and let it track as you're going in the direction right. that you would like to go. It's very, car drivers just don't have any access, or really just why would you want to do that? Well, that's a natural dynamics of a motorcycle. So we had to integrate that with control, the space satellite technology, which was insane. But we got it done. And we have an amazing team. And that allows, it unlocks a new vehicle architecture. It unlocks new energy, like savings and efficiencies. It unlocks a totally different ride. It's just different. It's not just unique. It's amazing. And this was really kind of a breakthrough for us, not just on the product side, but, you know, there was a deep intuitive. There was just this sixth sense or fifth sense where you just knew, like, wow, I want that. And it unlocks a different level of emotion that
wow.
I didn't know that existed. So, that's something I just want to share. The team, you know, everyone on the team is here because we want to share that, not just the sustainable mission. And, there's a huge social equity side of it too, but the mass market affordability and accessibility. But there's also this huge, absolutely fun side that's undeniable. It's undeniable. And you got to see it to believe it. You got to feel it to love it. And that's just, it's just something that is, it fuels me every morning. You know, gets me out of bed. So, I don't mind being paid like almost nothing. I mean, I totally get paid, but like it feels like that when you're put 52,000 hours of life into something.
Right.
But yeah, the technology is amazing. And, we have a massive patent portfolio behind it. But I can talk about it technically if you'd like. But it's incredibly fun. And just like that's what the future should feel like.
Yeah, cool. you're a big kid with your little wizard gyro, and your gyro just got bigger and got a little more expensive, and you're applying this, right?
Yeah. I mean, the gyros, if you go and buy them from Honeywell, they're like $2 million. I know. We figured out how to make them for a lot less, and there is a huge play aspect of this vehicle, similar to learning how to ride a bike. There's a huge play, and, yeah, I'm a big kid just like you guys are. I love my toys. I believe people want to own something, right? And love it and put time and effort into just like our relationships, you know, put time and energy and invest into, you know, into the people that we love in our lives. But, you know, we also have these things with wheels that, you know, put a huge smile on our face. That's, you know, that's sometimes hard to like conceal. So, or repress, but, you know, this is how the future should feel.
It's really cool. And there's some safety built into it. I've seen the at least renderings that you guys have of the car, the vehicle being hit by another vehicle and it just skids sideways, but doesn't fall over. So yeah, that speaks a lot about how stable those things are.
Yeah. Happy mistake. But I would like to say I'm the genius that, you know, thought that out, but it is an amazing aspect of the vehicle of, if you push on the vehicle like that, so this is the roll axis, right? If you push on the vehicle, the gyros will push back, because the gyros want to stay in a certain position. So when you talk about safety, which is incredibly important, we take it all for granted with all our everyday automotive products, you have your seat belts, you have your steel, carbon, aluminum reinforced safety cell, which is your chassis, right? And then you have your airbags. That's what we know in the modern time as the basic safety requirements for NHTSA or NCAP or IHS, whichever. The gyro's at that fourth level. And so anytime you get hit on the side, the gyros will push back. And if they push back on the, like getting hit from the side, what will happen is the they're so strong, 1,000 foot-pounds each, is wow, that they'll actually you'll skid across the street. And that will keep you upright. You might fall eventually, but compared to a motorcycle, you're gone. You're gone at a side impact. It's not even a question. So, so that's something that we would like to eradicate, I think. And that's why there's a big push to go to mass market is, you know, we want people to identify motorcycles and safety together, which is unheard of. And, you know, the amount of, you know, losses in life, you know, across the world, is pretty tragic, with motorcycles. There's an epidemic of, solo drivers, like in cars. So, you know, just seeing those two, I think there's a huge opportunity here. It's kind of a no brainer. And, I just think that's really a huge part of our mission. And, it just makes sense. I think we can all live with that.
Yeah. Just to close out the discussion of the gyro stabilization. So when you come to a stop, a parking place, what does it do then?
It'll just balance. If you want to turn it off and if you like, say you want to go, into the market or go pick up your kids or whatnot, drop someone off, basically the gyros, you'll have to tell if you want to leave them on or not. But usually if you just want to get out and you want to turn it off, they'll have landing gear that comes down and it's kind of like touching down. It's like you have lift off and then touch down. Same concepts. It's where the airplane metaphor comes into play. And it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy and simple. So it's just kind of how life should be. Life's already complicated as you get older. So why make it more complicated? So there's a huge aspect of we want to be really meticulous. And, you know, Bill's really great for that as well. it's being meticulous in all the different aspects of the user interface and how it how the vehicle exists in the wild, in the urban environment. That's an incredibly important part of vehicle architecture and urban planning. Yeah, there's it's a lot of fun, exciting stuff. We got some tricks up our sleeve, so I wish I could tell you all of them, but I can tell you the basics.
Keep them drooling, man. It's all good. Tease them a little bit, because I mean, you're doing such a good job teasing it. Tony, you have a great article on electrifynews.com that you can check out. And Tony did some great cross-referencing here of showing the cage, showing the seating position, the one by one, one plus one kind of in a row. I was looking and just pulling up this article that you wrote, Tony. This isn't new technology, Danny. This has been around since 1967. I'm joking. You look at the archaic kind of, but this is, it's really interesting just to see the origin story of what's going on here, but you're kind of glowing about it. And what's the reality of these being to market right now? You're doing, you know, obviously a crowdfunding, for lack of a better term. You buy a shirt, mm-hmm. you get in line, MSRP, $32,000. There's the quick and dirty numbers, but it's kind of fun, Tony. Again, great article there, Danny. Just Thank looking you. At that, 1967. That's pretty funny seeing that thing.
Yeah, and actually goes back even further to 1907, and then 1928. There was like a monorail. Mm-hmm. So you know, you have to realize everything before robotics wasn't a consumer industry. It was very, very it was high tech, and it was like DARPA level stuff. Or NASA level stuff, before anything before 1991 or 1992. So all of those gyro cars, gyro monorails, were all mechanically controlled. And, you know, there are limiting factors for a mechanically controlled vehicle. They did a pretty good job. It wasn't super robust like ours. You know, we have multiple levels of redundancy, but, you know, it wasn't until, you know, there's an Intel chip that, was launched and, consumer robotics was more, affordable and accessible, that we kind of, that's where all of our patents are, all of our technology. That's what differentiates us and all the previous different iterations. And then we added the drive-by-wire steering, which is a whole nother level of, it's like level 1000 in complexity. It's definitely a massive level up. So, you know, hence we had to get introed from the former CTO of NASA to one of his, you know, brilliant colleagues just on that level. So no joke. That's a real story. So, life so gets why, crazy.
Why steering by wire versus mechanical?
We have mechanical, that's there. It is there for redundancy in case something goes wrong, but, the drive by wire. So like if I have my steering wheel and, you know, and I decide to turn to the left or turn right, whichever this is, you know, the actual wheel, the front wheel needs to actually turn the opposite direction for a little bit. And then as the vehicle rolls, the front wheel will start to track or get into the trim condition, just so you can like maintain that radius turn. So, you know, doing this and then having the front wheel go the opposite direction, it's too much for, they call it nonlinear controls, closed loop controls, not to get too technical into stuff, but it's really complicated and you just can't do that as well with mechanical controls. It's got to be electronic. So
makes sense. I mean, if you put a handlebar instead of a steering wheel, yeah. Some of us might intuitively know how to counter steer to start
totally
to initiate a turn.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. We could program it to allow you to do that, which is fine. But for most people, you know, for example, like my mom, like, you know, I would like to get my mom in it, let her drive it. And if I can get her or any of her friends to drive it, I think that's a huge win for everyone, you know, everyone at that level of adeptness and athleticism, and hand-eye coordination. I think, you know, it's everyone drives a car, you know, it's, it's right. the majority of people drive a car around in the developed world. It's just about reaching the masses. It's about making things fun, making things exciting. When's the last time you thought about being excited about commuting to work, unless you're like in a Porsche, 911, GT. We just got to hit all the spots, because transportation is a really incredibly complex problem to solve. My hat's off to all the founders previously who have taken a really great shot at it. And I think that, I think it's amazing what they've done. And I personally, having built cars from scratch, I took a different direction. There's just a lot of efficiencies, and I think we're in a really interesting opportunity in the market, in the EV market's maturity right now to give this a shot, a really good shot. So, I'm grateful just to be here. So it's fun.
Yeah. Cool. You guys do such a good job. I mean, you're bringing together, like you said, just these powerhouse people, working with NASA and your stories and just the depth here. What, Christina, to you, some of the stats, again, looking at MSRP, but subject to change, what are some other the stats as far as, it always comes down to charging. It's always the broken record, but is the infrastructure there? What's going on? That's always, all right, say I buy, the C1. What's that look like, and what are some of the stats?
Let's see. There's so much to go into, but I think what a lot of people don't realize with this smaller vehicle architecture is how much is streamlined, right? Because we have 1/10 the parts of a regular car, and that means it's faster to manufacture. It's simpler to manufacture. And also, I don't think Danny has gone into this yet, but there's a lot of verticals associated with this two-wheel platform. And it's not just for commuters, but we could also go into like B2B, for example, like delivery, autonomous driving. So the gyros really opened up so much that we could do. In terms of stats, a lot of people ask, what is the range of our vehicle? It ranges from 150 to 220. And what's really cool is that even though we have a smaller battery pack, it's 1/6 the battery of a normal EV or the typical EV. The smaller weight allows the battery to be efficient still. So even though we have less battery, you don't really lose range. Right. So that's really fun. Danny, did I miss anything?
No, you're just talking about physics. I mean, we're trying not to defy the laws of nature. Mathematics is the language of nature. And our vehicle is about three times more aerodynamically efficient. And the weight is also less. So I think when you look at the whole life cycle of our vehicle, like compared to like a Tesla, like Model S, or even a Y or a 3, we're somewhere in the ballpark of 1.8 to 3 tons of CO2 in its life cycle emitted, where if you're looking at a Tesla, and this is dependent on which country you're in, because it goes into a long story about like energy production and how it's being produced and the cost of that. So Europe's totally different from the United States. If you're looking at an EV, like it's around 18, sometimes it can be less, 18 tons per, of CO2 in its life cycle. Internal combustion cars, I love diesels, but if we put them on the chopping block, they're in the ballpark of 28 to 35. It could be a lot higher. But somewhere in that ballpark of high 20s to low 30s of tons of CO2 emitted in its life cycle. 50% of that's in the beginning of as it's being produced, and then the other half is during its life. How long you drive it, a couple hundred thousand miles if you're lucky. Christina's like, she like nails all like the emotional points, and I really want to get deep into the weeds. I think that's the technical side of me. I think there's just a lot for everyone at whatever camp you're in. We're trying to focus on the emotional camp because I that's, you know, Christina's really great at that. And I'm trying to, you know, I used to ride motorcycles on a racetrack and I'm trying to capture that. And that was my job as CEO. If I can capture a lap time around, you know, Laguna Seca at like 1:30 or 1:32 and make that available to, you know, the majority of people, if they feel comfortable going that fast, I think that's a win. So I think that's a massive win. So, it's the future is bright, you know, the future is lit. So, you know, we have a gang sign. So I don't know if you can see that, but
you got jumped in all of a sudden, Tony, you got jumped in, bro. Yeah. No, and as nerdy again, being a nerd isn't like a Sanders thing anymore. You're cutting to this nerd thing, but I liked how you said I've raced at Laguna Seca. You're in the Bay Area. So Sonoma, there's these great tracks up there, right?
Yeah.
So you're cutting into the emotion of it, but you're applying your affinity for technology. And then now you are helping the planet too. So because we only got one, right? So either pedals, pedal assist, and now here with this mobility and micromobility is really, really interesting. So when's this thing hitting? Like when can I, my big grape ape self, when can I squeeze myself and shoehorn myself into one? I'm 6'4", 265, so I'm a big dude, but can I fit
in it? We could get you into it. You know, that is the next exciting part. You know, I love the opportunity to build a car company. I think that's really fun to get into the weeds about. You know, we are looking at somewhere in the ballpark, whenever money actually hits the bank, we're looking at like 18 months when we have a production level vehicle ready to drive. Okay. We're going to take that and figure out what people think. So we get your feedback. We'd love to have it. We could sell that one. But like larger scale production is somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, 3 years from when money hits the bank, something like it could be less. We have a team. The story gets crazier. We have a team that specialized in serial production, which is anywhere from 10,000 units to 50,000 units, who came from Audi. Yeah, like they're real German, like very German. We love them. Volker, Stefan, Mirko, love you guys. They have a network. They have people that can produce vehicles to an Audi or VW quality. You know, they go have like boots with them. So beer boots with them. So that's crazy to get access to that. Yeah, Das Boot. Yeah. It's good. It's really amazing to have them on the team and have their support. They also see the vision. They're like, wow, this is like the holy grail of transportation. And you could say that, or it's just, you know, we're not going to take over. We're not going to get rid of the car. You know, I would like to replace the majority of two wheelers or motorcycles. You know, I don't want to get rid of them, but I think we're going to be your first choice, second vehicle, or third, maybe all third, second and third vehicle.
Oh, you'll have easily.
You'll have a car. You got to have one for the kids, load them in there or whatever, you know, throw your wing foiling or surf gear or whatever, you know, in the back of your, I don't know, your SUV or minivan or pickup truck, your F-150. Got to recognize that. You know, we're going through the process. It's like a pretty legit automotive company process of production and development. We're going to try to meet NCAP homologation, which is the highest level of safety in the world. You know, if we don't hit it, we're going to at least get 95 something percent there. So, which is 1,000 times better than a motorcycle, but. You know, I don't want to, you know, color it yet, but that is our goal. And that's what these guys do for fun. you know, if you give a, you know, you ask what a clown does, that a clown, you know, creates balloons and makes someone laugh. If you take a really awesome car concept to these Germans, that one of the largest car companies in the world, who know how to produce vehicles, like did the 911, like, you know, production run for serial for development, that's 37,000 units per year. If you give them a car concept, they're going to build you a car. Surprise, surprise. So, you know, it's an amazing team. It's an amazing team. It's, you know, I just want to share, not just the experience of driving, but I want to share the profit making from this. And I want everyone to, you know, from a triple bottom line perspective, I want to share the wealth and, you know, be fruitful, and I want everyone to thrive. That's what the future should be about. It should be about thriving. It shouldn't just be us. It should be, you know, not just the United States, but the world. That's what we do. You know, United States like to blow it up for everyone. All of our trading partners. So,
yeah. And your group of advisors, you know, seeing former CTO at NASA, you talk about Audi and Volkswagen with Volker, just looking at everybody that's on board. I mean, you have an absolute hit list of technology wherewithal, and you talk about the wealth, but gaining those profits to make this a reality is got to be really exciting. And like you said, this isn't just, oh, we're starting here. You know, the website does a really good job, simple, emotional, pretty transparent about development too. Seeing the mule, you know, and like it says, since 2005, because that's your background.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to be as transparent as possible. I don't think everyone wants to read through 27 like pages of mathematical motions, the equations of motion.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony, I can't wait to do this on Saturday.
Right. So there, you know, everyone, you know, has been like, what have you guys done for however long, you know, and we're like, we definitely have been working. It's just, we just don't think that you're going to enjoy this part. And you're probably, you know, it's, you know, not everyone loves nonlinear controls and, you know, vehicle dynamics. You know,
wait, just, you say nonlinear controls and I'm such a fan, Tony.
I should have got you in that first day of just you, me, and Dave.
Oh, look at the time. Look at the time, yeah. Danny. I'm out. I gotta go.
Oh, well, we'll get you next time around. Yeah.
Oh, we're fresh out of time. Sorry, Danny. No, and that's what we're trying to do here is make it fun. And I can sense that you have a level of excitement that's really come into fruition. And like you said, 3 years, that seems, some people are like, oh, wait, you know, we live in ADD theater, right? You know, between Instagram and, you know, obviously, you know, we started writing Bibles. Then there were books. Then now it's like a mood ring. What color are you? You know, like just like hit me square between the eyes. Tony, any other questions for Danny or Christina in regards to?
We missed a very important point. Christina, how long does it take to charge the vehicle?
Okay, so if you plug it into a wall charger, that's like 120 volts, it'll take around 6 to 8 hours. Danny, is that correct?
Yeah, so I mean, we're talking like the same, you know, socket that I'm plugging my laptop into.
Right.
Yeah.
6 to 8 hours. Yeah.
Right. But then if you plug it into a Tesla supercharger, which is a lot different, it'll take around 5 minutes. Maybe less.
Right there. Right there.
Oh, he's saying two minutes?
I didn't say anything, actually. But,
I saw it.
Think about this.
Some people go slower, you know, like plugging it in. They take their time. Yeah.
The thing is, like, it takes the same amount of time as it would at a gas station to fill up your gas tank, roughly. And you're getting
maybe even less. Yeah.
120 to 100, sorry, 150 to 200 and how many miles?
220, depending on the battery pack size. But and it only costs you like $1.20 or maybe $1.50, depending on where you live.
Sounds a lot better than $5 a gallon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it feels like a win-win to me. But that's just, you know, my opinion. So,
but like you said, it is a compliment. You're not denying, and that's what I love about it, is that you're not saying we're changing the world or change, you know, but you are. And it's chipping away. It's thought provoking. It's a compliment to, like you said, I have a Tundra, you know, I got my truck, and I was thinking about going to a bra. It's a great truck. I love it. Currently doing a glow up on it, doing fenders and all this other stuff. Super excited. Live in Southern California and go out to Glamis or go to. Can't take the Lit Motor C1. Not going to take that out to the desert. Look at this guy. Late breaking news. Motors is announcing their off road version.
No, I mean, so let me just be clear. I came from Oregon. I grew up with off-road stuff for wheeling, and the truck that I built for myself, is a daily crawler. It's a daily driver, but it's a pretty competent rock crawler.
Old Toyota, or what is it?
It's actually a 1967 Series 2 Land Rover that there's nothing on it. Yeah, it's just to get around. There's a loophole around diesel engines that you import from Brazil. It's just for the love of cars. And it's also super efficient. It's like 24 miles per gallon on 37s.
That's sick.
Yeah, so there's that aspect of me. I'm not gonna pretend that I'm one way or the other, but you gotta love them all. There's excitement and for everything, all different kinds of walks of life and motorsports or non-motorsports, or just you gotta love and respect the human condition and ingenuity, because it's really humans. We do some crazy amazing stuff. We do some stupid stuff, but we also do some crazy amazing stuff. And part of life is just enjoying it. That's one part, I think that's our job, that's our jobs to create a new level. I can just stop it right there. Just create a new level. And I that like level that. Might be up here. So we're figuring it out.
It comes back to where not only the beginning of this conversation, but you talked about the gyro and you having this wizard. It cuts into that emotion of having bigger toys. And now I know a lot of friends like are buying paintball stuff that they couldn't when they were younger, right? Paintball stuff. Mm-hmm. Or me, like with my Tundra, totally. I'm going to put 37s on it. Or, Tony, you buying that bike because it comes from the bike cycling world. So you getting that bike that was either a stump jumper like this OG Specialized or whatever. And again, Christina, obviously you joined the conversation. I don't know. You got your kitchen back there. You got that new rice cooker or something. I don't know what's going on, but it's, for me, I'm like, I like this. And I liked how you're like, wait, so you didn't finish that. So can you take the C1 to the desert? And you also talked about it earlier is going vertical, applying this in different capacities or different places because the technology is applicable in different areas. So again, Danny, you kind of zipped your lip and threw it away there a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, let's focus on, getting to this first round of development and raising the money that we need, the capital we need to get there. And, if people really love this vehicle in the way I think they're going to, I'm happy to throw another, cookie or another treat out. And it's going to be a technical treat. It's going to be fun. And it's going to be crazy and you'll love it. And if you don't love it, then, screw you. That's how the cookie crumbled. So, just a
quick question in that direction. It has a lot of traction control. So you speak about how it can do like snow and slush and ice and that kind of thing, right?
There's slip control on it. And that's just a general safety requirement that we felt was necessary. There's anti-lock brakes and all that good stuff. And that's just, that's a standard automotive, the automotive industry. There's some new stuff where we have slip control. And so let's say you're driving from San Francisco to Tahoe, and you hit some gravel or you hit, a 6-foot, patch of ice.
Mm-hmm.
You might recover if you're going under 30 miles an hour. And if it's icy like that, if you're driving 30 miles an hour and above and you don't have like, you know, WRC like studded like tires, you know, maybe you should deserve to fall or get into an accident, or because that's not safe. But like, you know, if you're driving, you know, reasonably, and you hit some ice or you hit some snow, you'll recover. And I think that's the magic of the wizardry that we got, you know, from David Bailey. So, you know, it's there's a lot of amazing. The story, it just goes deep, and you know, and it just speaks to the technology and what it enables. And that's just one small part of what it enables. Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff that we've discovered. And, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, if you look at our patent portfolio, it's a little bit like, you know, you get, if you guys snowboard or ski or, you know, telemark or whatever, if you get to the top of the mountain and you're like the first one down, like, you know, a big, you know, field of powder or pow-pow, I call it pow-pow, you know, and you're the first one down for tracks. You're kind of looking around. You're like, this looks really great, man. Like, it's snowing around. Okay, I'm just going to ski down it or snowboard down it. And then you get to the bottom. You're like, wow, I'm just going to hike back up. And there's still no one there. And you hike back down. And you hike up and you ski back down or what? Go back down. It's been like that for a while for us. And so it's kind of just, you know, recently, 2019, 2020, we got some. Actually, it was earlier than that, 16. We got some pretty serious interest, 15, 16. We got some pretty crazy interest. But, you know, it really kind of peaked in 2019, 2020, 2021. You know, I can't talk about it, but, you know, it was amazing. And, man, that pandemic, really obnoxious.
Ugh, just thorn in our side.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, just oof.
Yeah, never heard of it. Yep. Danny, real quick, Tony, Danny's a bro. Like, I'm just finding this out. Danny is not even cutting into his bro level. Like, he's talking about his daily crawler, talking about the pow-pow. Like, Danny is a bro that's now heading up this technology company, but also, like, you again, am I correct? I hope you're not offended by that. People call me a bro.
No.
I mean, you know, you have this. Are you a bro?
I'm a little bit of everything. I'm a little bit of everything. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was super athletic. You know, I was great at math because Kumon, you know, as a kid. But, you know, I was super athletic. I grew up in the sticks and, you know, fell in love with automotive stuff. So, love wing foiling. You know, used to be on varsity soccer and ski team and basketball and all that stuff. Track and field. Used to go out and go planking with friends at 18. So, you know, I'm a little bit of everything. I respect everything. I grew up with it all. So, you know, I'm really just trying to, we don't have to be so divided and, nope. You know, there's a huge tech side of this, which is super nerdy and super fun and elegant and fascinating. But there's also another side of it that's just gotta like, I don't know, man. I just think of like V8s and like, you know, cross plane, flat plane V8s and like no mufflers and straight pipes and, you know, 800 horsepower and like 500 pounds of torque or something like that. It's just like, you know,
and I think that all plays into you being the CEO, CTO, founder. That's why I say that. It's just, you know, on paper, it's like, here's this, you know, vehicle, but I think you're bringing all those emotions into it. And then you have all the emotions of, you know, your people coming from NASA or Honeywell or Audi. So it's just this good amalgamation of passion and also not only for, you know, just the, like you said, the drivability, the likability, but the technology and that just going up. And that's what I'm really kind of getting at here is I like the different perspectives that you're bringing into it, because I think it will have a better end result for everybody. And that's, it's not about me. It's about we.
Yeah, it's about we. Yeah, it's definitely not about me. It's about we. You know, if I did our first design, it would have looked like the Lamborghini Aventador back in, back in 2000 and, early mid 2010s or 12 or whatever. But, I had to think about how do I make this, how do I appeal to both sexes, and because there's some really damning data about how much power women have at the household when it comes to large fiscal decisions. They make up 80%, they're the gatekeepers of 80% of it. So, I see that my own, household. So you got to respect women. You got, happy wife, happy life, or happy partner. I don't know what the rhyme is, but for the other side of that, we just got to work together and we got to have something to look forward to. And it just has to be so simple and such a no brainer of yes. It's just got to be yes. It's when you fall in love, it's just yes, right? That's okay. It. There's you can make up whatever rationality or you want, but it's just got to be a yes. So we're shooting for the stars, shooting for the moon, or at least a exosphere where all those spy satellites are, and we're shooting back down at the Earth, and we're reading your mind, or at least your newspaper. It's real. But it might be classified. I don't know. I think it's well known. But there's a lot to look forward to, and that's what fuels us.
Yeah,
you can't buy that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. No, it's just amazing. Is.
It's really cool. I'll stop it there. Unless Tony, we got literally 2 minutes. If there's anything else, real quick. That you want to add, or just
on another podcast? I'm good. I'm just super excited. I cannot wait until there's even a pre-production unit to take a test ride in.
I got you, man.
Tony's going to be there at Laguna Seca. So he promised that at Laguna Seca too. Again, we got Great Babe.
We've rented that track out a couple times, FYI. So it's I actually love that track. It's an amazing track. It's actually an amazing track. So yeah.
The gyro at the corkscrew don't even need to do anything. That's amazing.
it's interesting is when it leans over, you actually feel weightlessness.
Oh that's gonna gosh. Be crazy.
Oh.
We gotta tone it down actually. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we gotta strap you down.
It's exciting.
Pretty crazy. All right, man. Well, there's a lot of good stuff, and that's just the beginning.
Yeah, and so that's what's great. So we'll have to have you back on the podcast. Maybe we'll do it live from Laguna Seca or something like that. Get Tony, myself out there. Electrify News. Come out to Grid Life, Danny. We'll party at Grid Life. We had a cool event. I talk about drifting and all that stuff. Or come out to Formula Drift. Christina, you as well. Let's party at Laguna Seca. Thank you so much, Danny Kim, again, CEO, CTO, all that. Christina, all your insight on all the exciting things that are lit. Speaking of lit, Tony Donaldson, excuse me. Tony, thanks again for joining me.
Oh, always a good time with you, man.
Yep. Danny and Christina, thank you so much.
Thanks, all you right, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Electrify Podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.